zusammen. Holding on, as I stated earlier, since the last Talk to Miss E radio broadcast, I had the opportunity to visit Sao Paulo, Brazil. I went to initially take part in the Birthing the Future, the Time is Now project, sponsored by Miss Suzanne Arms, an awesome program. And I was concerned that with the intent of the program is to minimize trauma to children preconception, pre-birth, during birth, and post-birth. So I learned a lot about the gestational period, all of the things in the environment and in the body, in the brain, and the emotions that impact children's development. And before I went, I spoke to Suzanne, and she stated that She felt that the work that I do, because I feel like the work that I do primarily deals with children once they've already had experienced trauma in their lives, and primarily the children who've gone through foster care, those who have had disrupted placements, children who are being placed for adoption, and a lot of the things that happen. And what I had failed to take into consideration that we experience some degree of trauma from the beginning of life, and that gave me a new perspective. So that was a good experience. However, the highlight of the program for me was on the very last day, I had the opportunity to visit ABBA Children's Home, which is a home for children who, for some reason or not, are not with their biological parents. And I'm sure those of you who know me know that my heart was just wide open, full of joy and pain on that day, because as I listened to the stories of why some of the children were there, it had even a greater impact on me, because their stories are even, I guess, more pronounced than what we generally see here in our foster care system here in the United States, and they do not have developed foster care system and are looking to make something like that so the children don't have to live in quote-unquote institutions. So I'm grateful for Mr. Mick Peasy from England for connecting me with Delton, and I won't even try to pronounce his last name. He said he couldn't pronounce it sometimes himself, but there is Sao Paulo, who has been there, who's a native, I believe, of Canada, and had been there for, I think, approximately 2 to 3 years, he and his wife and children. But one of the things that has struck me over the past few years is that I've had issues when churches, even the church that I attended and was a member and very active participant in, and other local organizations seem to give more attention to the children in developing countries than they give to our children here, as I say, in our own front doors, not even in our backyards, children that we're dealing with every day. And I figured probably it's because people really don't know your stories. They don't know the stories. When you look at a child, you never know what that child has experienced. And that is one of the reasons I do this program, as well as the Visions for a Child Card television program, to bring awareness to the community, also known as the village. And so what happens when someone goes to visit these other countries, they come back, they tell the stories, and they put the faces in front of you to say, this is what is happening to these children, and people are more moved. One of the drawbacks that I have in working with children here in the United States, being dependent to the court, is the issue of confidentiality. Because they're dependent to the court, we're unable to really tell the stories or place the faces of the children on anything that is giving media exposure. And the other thing is not wanting to exploit our children, but there's a fine line. So I've chosen to go with the young adults who are willing to share their stories, to put a face to them, and then to go back to their childhood and to see what are the issues that have worked and what has not. So while going through this whole experience of being really, I must say, bitter with some of our local organizations and faith-based programs, I still had a heart for what was going on with the children abroad. And one day, while I was feeling just somewhat restless, I just said, you know, I'm just tired. I just want to go travel and hug some babies. And part of that was out of the frustration of some of the traumatized youth I was dealing with, being unreceptive to the caring and love, and understandably so on a rational basis, because there's a lot of trauma that they've endured and makes it difficult to trust. And my heart wanted someone to receive my love, and I just want to travel around the world and hug some babies. Going through somewhat of a drought emotionally, I remember one day just taking a week off for my own mental health needs, and I visited with my cousin, who is also one of our board members, and I said, you know, I just need to do something different. And what came on television that day but Oprah Winfrey talking about her school over in South Africa. And looking at those children, just something opened up in my heart. And I was saying, but who's going to take care of our children? You know, I can't go do that. And gradually, I believe, as the prayer of Jabez says, enlarge my territory, it became increasingly more clear. And the first opportunity that I had to travel abroad and really talk to some young people was, I guess, 3 years ago now, when I traveled with the Les Brown Platinum Speakers Network to London, England. And I continued my same message about being the village and talking about issues related to foster care and adoption. And to my surprise, there were young adults in the audience each time who came to me afterwards and said, you shared my story. And it hit me then that, okay, this issue is not just a domestic or local issue. This is a global issue. So I was very encouraged by that and have continued to keep contact. And since then, with the issues of the earthquakes in Haiti and other events, even met a gentleman there in the UK who's from Kenya and stated that he would be interested in working with me and doing some projects there, I began to get the idea that this is a global vision. And one of my young people here, well, more than one, stated, you know, well, if you're going to be going doing all that travel, what about us? And my immediate response, not even having given it thought before, was, you're going to go with me. And they said, for real? I said, for real. And it's all becoming even more clear to me now that as Shay Oliveria, she's going to hurt me, has a program called Bigger Than Your Block, is that I feel that I also have a purpose to allow young people to travel and to say, the world is bigger than your block. And this has been very much experienced and displayed by our three-time guest, Ms. Nicole Markman, who we interviewed several months ago, who had just returned from a trip to Prague and talked about her experience there. And she is currently doing an internship in Trinidad and Tobago, and it's just been an awesome experience. And we were talking and sharing some notes, and it became very, very clear to me this is probably the next phase of the work that I will be doing with our youth here as well as abroad. It doesn't have to be either or, it can be and. So I'm looking in our chat room, and it looks like someone is not hearing something. So let me double check and see what's going on there. All right, hate to be doing all this talking and no one hearing. And it all became clear to me what the new vision could be. As Nicole is experiencing these travels and work with our with children abroad, she has encountered some similarities, but also some new insights. And one of the things that she has done while she's in Trinidad, which is just really, I was just so proud of her, and which has impressed me more so, is that she needed to write a paper for her internship. But so, and this is why I wish she was on, because in the process she wrote that in being somewhat disgruntled about some of the things that were taking place in the home where she was living, where she's working. I believe the supervisor or the director of that program asked her to write in some new principles that she turned into, as I believe, the Ministry of Children's Services for Trinidad, Ministries of Trinidad. Yeah, we're going to really have to do this because this is not working. It actually kind of reminds me of during my trip, which I guess I'll share more with you about, is that while I was in Sao Paulo, I got to visit the boys' home, and I did not post pictures of the children with me because they asked me not to post the children's pictures on the internet. What I have done is shared some with those who've made donations, and I want to thank everyone. My birthday was March 6th, and I was there for my birthday. And what I asked those in our mailing list and to do in our circle of friends, I asked if people would make a donation to Abba Children's Home in behalf of my birthday, and I thank those who did respond. We sent them a donation of $166.10. Someone says, where did the 10 cents come from? The 10 cents came from, because it was my 55th birthday, I asked if people would make donations of, you know, whether it was $550, $55, or $5.55. So we had the 55 cents a couple of times. That came to the 10 cents. But, you know, no gift is too small, and definitely no gift is too large. And my task now is being able to integrate the needs of our youth here with the needs of the youth that we will come into contact with. And the vision that I have that I would like for our listeners to really join us in is helping us to prepare transitioning foster youth who are not clear about their focus of what they want to do in their young adult lives to be able to sponsor them and to place them in placements such as the one, whether they're in college or not, such as the one that Nicole has done and others that she will be doing, because I believe it's one, an opportunity to travel outside of our box. The other is to give focus to a sense of purpose, and it also gives us a sense of gratitude. Even though we all have things that we would like to have experienced differently, it allows us to open our heart to not only look inside, but to be able to look outside as well and to see that our pain is not to negate our pain, but it's also to put it in perspective and to know that through our pain, sometimes we are being prepared to help someone else in pain. I know that even though I did not grow up in the foster care system, there are some childhood experiences and some adult ones as well that I believe have given me a particular empathy and sensitivity to the children in the foster care system. I can't ever say that I know their pain, but I can understand the pain because of what I went through. And when we're all going through difficulties, we wonder, you know, well, what is this? You know, why am I going through this? And I believe that if you have faith, you continue to follow your heart and you walk your purpose. There's an old gospel song that says, we'll understand it better by and by. So going back to what Nicole has done, she sent a proposal to the Ministry of Family and Children's Services of Trinidad. And for me, that was so big because a lot of us feel like, you know, well, what can I do? I can't change anything. And here is this one small yet big voice, herself a product of the voicelessness of the foster care system in the United States, who has now, just by speaking out on her personal observation and experience, has been able to make a proposal to the Ministries of Family and Children's Services of Trinidad. Can you imagine that? That is just so awesome. And my message is that we all can make a difference. We can all do something. It may not be speaking to the politicians and the policymakers, but just every little thing that we do makes a difference. I am just reminded, as I wrote the e-blast for this call, I thought of the song, you know, that Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones and half of the recording industry did, 30 years ago? We Are the World, We Are the Children. And what came to my mind is that, yeah, we are the world, and some of us are the children, because Nicole, not only is she being the village now, she is one of the children who is now in an adult body. And the other thing is, we are all the village, and they're all our children. There is a chapter in my book where I talk about a gentleman who saw me with my then prospective foster son, and there were a lot of children running around in McDonald's, and children were everywhere, and I was smiling. The guy looked at me and said, are these all children? All these your children? Are these all your children? And I looked at him, and what went through my mind was, they're all our children. And that has just stuck with me. And I believe that when God placed each of us here on this earth, he gave us a purpose. And for the children who, for some reason, their biological parents have not been able to, are willing to parent them, he has given some of us the heart to be able to nurture and to parent these children. So they're all our children. It's not a bloodline. It's a heart line. So my goal is teaching us how to, one, follow our hearts, and first of all, to be able to heal our hearts, to be able to share. So my message is that we all can do something. But I really now feel like there's another step to this, that if Nicole could go and listen to, observe children and share her heart and just speak one point of truth to someone who had an ear to hear and a heart to feel, who, I don't know, they should have known, and I would think would have seen some of the issues that she saw, having been there a long time, but why is it that they never spoke up? We don't know, but that was her time. That was her place. We all have a time and a place where we're to speak and to be heard, where we're to do and leave impact. So, Nicole, one of the questions I want to ask you, and if you can just type in the response, and for those who are just joining in, we had some difficulty with our Skype connection. So Nicole is in our chat room. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, how did it feel for you when you were asked to submit your recommendation for changes in the policies to the Ministry of Family and Children's Services of Trinidad? And if you can just type that response in, I would appreciate it as I continue to talk. I think for me, it would probably, on one hand, be overwhelming, but it's also a part of living your dream. You know, you have a dream, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not dreaming anymore. It's really happening, and you start pinching yourself and say, oh, my goodness. And one of my favorite scriptures says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly and above what you can think or imagine. And I used to laugh and say, you know, well, God's going to be doing a lot because I have a pretty big imagination. And God says, oh, you think you got something, huh? Let me show you this. And just some of the things that he has just brought to my life and brought me to has just shown me, like, wow, I could not even imagine this. So I love the fact that we say, live your dreams. That's was the title of Les Brown's very first book, Live Your Dreams. And now he has one released entitled Fight for Your Dreams. But, you know, I think as I've watched things unfold in my life, they're not that I have to fight for the dreams. Most times I have to fight for my ability to withstand all the things that came between me and my dream. So because the dream has already been placed there, it's already been fulfilled. And I believe that as we take one step each day, Nicole just didn't say, I'm going to go over here and change the whole children's system in Trinidad. She said, I want to go to school. That was the first step. Then she said, this is what I want to major in. When I first met her a year and a half ago, she said that her goal was to become an international social worker. And I said, that's interesting. You know, how would that work? You know, it was totally foreign to me. And then as she shared more and more of her heart, and as I stated before, we've had her on our program twice before, that she has just taken it step by step. She finished her bachelor's. She's in her graduate program. She signed up for interns, and opportunities have just opened for her amazingly. But the steps have just been ordered, and I believe they're ordered of God. And this is what it leads you to. So that's, you know, so much into what I believe in is to follow your dreams, because you never know where it's going to take you. So it looks, I guess that part isn't going to work either. And I believe that all things happen for a reason. And for whatever reason, her voice is not being heard and even seen via type. I believe that there's a reason why I am sharing the message that I'm sharing today. I've come to the point that so many things have happened with my intent and without. I'm, as Mother Teresa says, and as a colleague and friend of ours always say, Gloria Ramirez said, we are but a pencil in the hand of God. So I believe that I am speaking and leaving a legible statement of what it is that God wants us to say. And I hope that for those who are listening to this, despite the glitches, that one thing will come out clear. One is to follow your heart. The other is to realize that our dreams take us far and beyond our comfort zones. And it was quite uncomfortable for me to be able to speak to people who could not even understand me. For some reason, I don't know why I thought they would speak English. I even thought, after getting there and I heard the word see a few times, I thought maybe they were speaking Spanish. So I did my little Spanish. They still didn't get it. So it turns out the language there is Portuguese. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to communicate directly. However, I had translators, and that was a very new experience for me. So talk about stepping out of your comfort zone. But the neat part about it is that my heart was very much alive, and I knew when my heart it connected with the children that I met. There was one young man whose birthday was the same day as mine. He turned 8 years old. He had three siblings, and the director of the program shared with me how this little boy and his siblings had been picked up one at a time off of the streets of Brazil. And if you listen to our theme song written and performed by Mr. Damon Williams, he talks about Rachel weeping for the children, and he talks about the children on the streets of Brazil. And children are being killed, children are being held hostage, children are being exploited sexually, children are being threatened. And the stories that I heard about these children, and to look at them, Mike, I did just actually weep. And I realized that, you know what, it's more to it than that. I'm not going to abandon my own heart at home, but I'm going to bring it all home. All of our children need to know that they're valuable, that they're worth having someone to love and to care for them. And if it's anywhere within my ability, I am going to make sure that happens. As I spoke to the staff there, some of their locals, others are there as part of missionary groups from different organizations, and a couple there are actually employed. And I find that the experience of seeing the children, watching me come in as an African-American woman, was very surprising to them. And one of the things that I realized is that in the different minority ethnicities of the United States, very few travel. And a lot of the children that are there are children of color. And to see faces that look like theirs, I believe it's very important for our young people to dispel the myth that's being portrayed via the media. I remember another colleague on the Congo who stated that he traveled to Africa, and even though he's originally from the Congo, but he had gone to West Africa, and he stated that the greetings that he received from some of the young people there when he got there were ones that he would really care not to repeat, because they were things that really carried no sense of dignity that they had gotten from the American media that was really just overwhelming, because that was how they thought that all black people from the United States conducted themselves. And it was really, it was hurtful. So to see young people with a sense of glitter in their eyes or gleam in their eyes saying, wow, you came to see me, to run up to you and hug you and sort of follow you around when you come back, that was just, you know, heartwarming to me. And Nicole had some interesting experiences as well, but even from coming from the staff perspective, and I won't even speak to that, I will let her speak to that. So what I am going to do is we're going to connect and actually record our interview as we did the one before, because our practice session came out wonderful. And we're going to do that because there's some things that I just want her to be able to share. And for any of our former foster youth, or transitioning foster youth, who are really not sure what it is that you want to do, but you know that you want to travel, that you want to see something different, and that you want to make a difference, I believe that this would be an awesome opportunity. If you're a listener who is connected with some organizations or some churches or someone that really wants to support the youth of the world, I ask you to please connect with me at visions@foracildsheart. That's visions, V-I-S-I-O-N-S, at for, F-O-R, childsheart.org. You can find us at For a Child's Heart, Inc. on Facebook. This is so dear to my heart, and I'm just very excited about it. And next year, the roundtable that I attended is being considered to be held in Kenya. I've already spoken to someone in Haiti, actually I've been talking to off and on since the earthquake, and there are other countries that children are in need of being touched as well. So I feel so strongly about this, and I'm very excited because it's a win-win-win situation, really. It's a win for me as an adult, really looking to carry out the vision. It's a win for the young people who would desire to be able to travel and might not do so any other way, and to get a different perspective of life and to broaden their sense of self, because it's definitely a growing experience. And it's also a win for those who they would be seeing and working with. And just as Nicole has been asked to make, you know, just this proposition, or proposal. The other thing that Nicole is doing is an awesome video project, which is a training that she's doing to sensitize the workers there in terms of cultural sensitivity, in terms of emotional sensitivity to the issues that the children have experienced. She shared with me about one young lady that she's worked with in particular, who's 18 years old, facing some of the same issues our children in the foster care system here face, probably even a little bit more, having dropped through the cracks of different workers, et cetera. There is a lot. And so if you feel that there is no hope, I want you to think again, because the more of us who act upon the power that has been given to us, act upon the sensitivity and the burden or the care or concern that's been placed in our hearts, it's possible. If nothing else, I definitely believe that. That's the one reason I'm still talking on this call tonight, even though I'm talking by myself. I won't say by myself, even though I'm the only one whose voice is being heard right now. I'm talking it because I believe. I believe that all things are possible, and I learned that as a part of my teaching and my spiritual and religious teaching, that all with God, all things are possible. But through my life now, I've definitely learned that all things are possible. You know, I joke and say, you know, I live in the North Bay, San Francisco Bay Area, and there were some days that my finances were so low I couldn't even cross the bridge to go to San Francisco, which I think at that time it was only, what, $3? I think it's $6 now, to get across, you know, two bridges to get to San Francisco. And here God has allowed me the opportunity to be able to take my heart, I won't even say my message, just to take my heart worldwide, and that he's only just begun. And I know and believe that I'm not the only one who has a desire, who has the vision, and has the faith to believe that it can be done. And Nikki Thompson has stated in the chat room that it is possible. Yes, it is. So instead of us just talking about it, who's that? Someone says, don't just talk about it, be about it. Dan Waller. Can't think of the name of his company right now, but he is also, he's a motivational speaker, and he is a photographer, so you will forgive me, Dan. But he says, don't just be about it, don't just think about it, and don't just talk about it, be about it. And that's what it is. We want to be about our Father's business, our children's business, our business. Because we say, you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. So it is probably about time to wind up. And if anyone has any questions in the chat room or any comments, would you please post them now? I feel like I've been doing a whole lot of talking, which I have. And for our guests who are unidentified, if you would be so kind as to leave us a post on our page, whether it's on Facebook or on the page of this episode on Blog Talk, I definitely appreciate it. If you're someone listening to the recorded archive, please drop us a line at visions@4achildsheart.org and let us know that we are not alone in our vision, in our caring, in our hearts, in our love, and our can-do mindset. So, with this, I'm going to say thank you for doing something special for a child's heart. And probably by the weekend, I will post the interview with Nicole. And Nicole, I'm just so sorry things did not work out. You diligently followed through. We did everything that we could, that we thought we could do yesterday to make sure that this would come through, but unfortunately it did not. But all things are possible. Oh, Nicole said, to be honest, because of her previous advocacy experience in Washington, D.C., she wasn't nervous when she was asked to submit her recommendations to the Ministry of Family and Children's Services of Trinidad. She said she believed that the experience was used on beyond a national, local, or state level. She said, I was like, God, this is a big deal, and I pray that something out of my recommendations will be implemented. And Nikki Thompson said, God did not put you down the path for nothing. And that is so true. All of our paths, it's not in vain. So thank you so, so very much. And will be. And I want you to listen to the words of this song, Rachel's Weeping for Her Children, if you've not really listened to it before. And we can weep, but we can do more than weep. In understanding the pain, but we can also weep for joy that we can do something to make a difference. Whatever emotion comes up, allow it to be, but put it into action. So this is Never Give Up, Miss E. Thank you for listening, and we will see or hear you shortly. So please leave a note on our page. God bless you, and thank you for doing something special for a child's heart.
Your heart is